Not only the preacher, not only the preacher, but you need it too. We all need that double portion of God's blessing and God's presence and God's power, and we need it. In fact, we just have to have it. We're just goners without it. We're just goners without it. We need it. Turn in your Bibles, please. Thank you, choir, for that number. I needed that right before I got up to preach. I needed that. That's what I want. If I don't have it, don't get it every time I get up to preach, that's what I want. Every now and then. You know, it's easy to preach when you feel that liberty the Lord gives you. And as I've said before, I'd rather be out with my beagle dogs chasing rabbits and foxes, be up to preaching without that liberty God gives you. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. 1 Timothy 5. First Timothy 5, verses 24 and 25. 1 Timothy 5, verses 24 and 25. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we do echo from our hearts what the choir just sang, that, Lord, we'd rather have a double portion of the Spirit of God upon our lives than anything else in this world. Lord, if I had one request you'd grant me today, Lord, that'd be it. Lord, we know if we have your presence and your help, everything else take its place. Everything else be okay, Lord, if you'll just help us. And you'll just be there. You just pass by every now and then. Lord, we know that everything will be okay. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless thy word, this your preacher, these your people, as the word of God goes out today. And I pray that we'd be challenged, we'd be built up by the word of God through the blessed, sweet, heavenly dove, the Holy Spirit. Lord, in a crowd like this, there's burdens, there's problems, there's situations that, God, that are desperate, and we need the Lord's help. Christians are about ready to give up, maybe. I pray they'll be encouraged to just keep on keeping on today. Bless your people. I pray that, Lord, for that one that may have physical problems, that one that may have home problems or problems on the job, God, would you help them? Would you meet that need? And then, Lord, there may be those here today that have got out of the will of God, far from the Lord. May they come back nigh unto him. Somebody never, maybe here today, not even saved, never got in. May they get in today and come to Jesus and get in the family of God and get saved. Now, Lord, help me defeat the devil. Bless throughout these grounds and our children's churches and preschool and everything that goes on here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Pray that you would bless. And now help me and give me that liberty I need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, I had no intentions of preaching on these two verses this morning. I am preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. And tonight, I got up a message tonight on, I finished one last Sunday night. Last time I preached on 1 Timothy, it had been 2 weeks ago tonight I preached on it. And I closed out at verse 16. I got up a message on 17 through 25 for tonight on Let's Talk About the Preacher. So that's what that passage is about, the elders, the pastors, preachers. And I was going to use 24 and 25 just for a little short conclusion tonight, but the Lord sort of laid it on my heart to just preach on my conclusion this morning and come back tonight. You can get the message tonight. So I want to speak to you. I want to, whatever the Lord wants me to speak on when I get up here, it doesn't matter what portion of the Word of God, as long as it's what God wants me, if I feel like it's what the Lord wants me to preach on. But now commentators can't be sure. In fact, nobody can be sure on what those two verses really mean and what Paul had in mind. Most of them think probably it refers back to verse 22 where it says, lay hands suddenly on no man. That is, that doesn't mean don't reach up and go up and sock them in the nose, but it don't lay hands on them when you ordain them. Suddenly, take your time, investigate. And most commentators, not all, most commentators feel like that some commentators just don't say, we don't know what this means. And that's about probably be closer to the truth. And but anyway, all of them do offer a interpretation of these. Say they refer back to verse 22 there about not ordaining people suddenly or quickly or being haste. And if a man gets saved, you got a lot of ability, ordain him immediately. Don't do that. That's what 22 says, lay hands suddenly on no man means. And if these two verses refer back to verse 22, then he's saying that when you investigate men for ordination, immediately you find out some men's sins are open and they're disqualified. And then in verse 23 also, verse 24, that if you continue your investigation and dig in, you find out that some men have sins in their lives and you shouldn't ordain them. But then verse 25 means that some men are openly, they have good works and they're good candidates for ordination. And then some men may not be very vocal and very people that are, noticeable in the congregation. But when you look into their lives, then they prove themselves to be good, godly men. Now, that's what some people think that the interpretation of that is. I don't know for sure that's it. And I don't believe we can be for sure what verse 24 and 25 refers to. I think there's some obvious eternal principles involved in verse 24 and 25 concerning sowing and reaping. And I want to just today just look at some principles that I see out of these two verses. And if it refers back to ordination, the principles that I'm going to bring out this morning still, I think, are true, that I see in these verses. You know, the Bible says in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, we always use that concerning the unsaved, but those words were used to the 2.5 tribes of Israel who stayed on, that they left their wife and children and all their herds on the other side of Jordan when they came to the Jordan River to go over to the Promised Land. And it was their responsibility to help the other tribes of Israel go over and eradicate the land of the enemies and defeat the enemies and go in and take the Promised Land. And they were told, now, it's your responsibility to go over, and if you don't, be sure your sins will find you out, talking to God's people. That can be applied to the unsaved. And then in the New Testament, the principle of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. And it's not primarily concerning the unsaved, though it's applicable. This is written to the members of the church at Galatia. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's written to Christians, to the church at Galatia. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Talking to a saved person. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, there are four great principles in verses 24 and 25 that I want you to see. In verse 24, two principles concerning sowing and reaping of sin. There's a payday for sin when we sow. I'm particularly concerned about Christians, but it's also for the unsaved. Everyone, when we sow to sin, there's going to be a harvest. And then also in verse 25, two principles concerning sowing a life of good works. If we sow in that area, we'll reap too, just as sure as night follows day. Now, first of all, in verse 24, sowing and reaping for sin, the first principle is this. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. Sometimes God judges a Christian's sin. In fact, most of the time, God judges Christian sin right now in this life. In fact, I believe that it's a sign that you are a believer when the judgment hand of God falls on you immediately because of your sin. Now, if it does not come immediately, rest assured that God will move in judgment on a believer's sin sometime, if not in this life, certainly at the judgment seat of Christ. David committed adultery. How long did he get by with that? Not long. Just almost immediately, God sent his man with a message that thou art the man. He pointed his finger in the nose of the king, and Nathan did, the prophet Nathan, and he exposed his sin, sent by God to expose the man of God's sin, David. And he said, thou art the man. And he said, David, the sword, because of your sin, will never, never depart from thy house. And it didn't depart from the rest of his days on this earth. The sword, rape, rebellion, death followed David's pathway till he went to the grave because of his sin. And Moses, God said, Moses, I want you to go speak to the rock. And water's going to come gushing out. Moses went over. That bunch of Jews made him man. And he just beat the daylights out of that rock. And water came. But Moses disobeyed God. And God said, okay, Moses, because you disobeyed me before the people, you can't go into the promised land. God took him up on a high mountain. Let him look on over into the promised land. But he did not get to go into the promised land because of his sin. In 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul said, for this cause many are weak, talking to the Christians at the church at Corinth, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep because they were taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. It means that they were drunken and gluttons and had divisions and going in and taking the Lord's Supper in that unworthy fashion. And God had already judged when Paul wrote this. God had already judged some of them. There were some of them already sick and some of them who were already dead and in their graves because of the chastening hand of God that fell on the believers at Corinth. Now, I have been a Christian for over 40 years. And it's been my observation that God judges sin in this life of believers most of the time. Most of the time, sooner or later, in this life when a believer sins, sooner or later, and it's usually sooner. But sooner or later, God will expose sin for all the world to see. He'll do it. He will do it. Who would have ever thought that Jimmy Swagger would have been hooked on pornography? I mean, since he was a teenager, he was hooked on pornography. Now, who would ever thought that? Who would ever thought that? I would. Why? I didn't accept his speaking in tongues and his falling from grace and his healing doctrines. But, you know, I thought he's as straight as shooter on television. And I said, I'd rather hear him preach than anybody on television, even though he's Pentecostal, and I thought he was clean as a hound's tooth. And I've often said, why, if he is a Baptist, I'd have him hold a revival at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I was far from wrong. By the way, most of you missed it too, didn't you? I remember, it's been about 5 years ago, when Ellen and I and the children were going to her folks up in Illinois, and we stopped, I believe, at a motel there in Indiana for the night. And you know, I had my wife and my daughter with me, and us men, we can just, as soon as we get in a motel room, 2 or 3 minutes, we're in bed. I mean, it doesn't take us long to go to sleep, get dressed, go to bed. But you know, these women take them half the night to get ready for bed. All the gyrations. I'd like to have a VCR of my wife getting ready for bed. That'd be a bestseller, honey, forgive me. And the rest of you men, what I'm talking about. But anyway, while Laurie and Ellen were getting ready for bed, I turned on the television, and Brother Jimmy Swagger was on there preaching. And guess what? And it's the best sermon I ever heard on pornography. It's exactly what he preached on that night. At that time, I thought that's the best I've ever heard on pornography. And you know the rest of the story, how that he was caught in a motel and in Louisiana with a prostitute. He got by with that sin for many years, but God finally exposed him. Finally exposed him. There's a pastor who used to pastor up in Southwest Virginia. And he was one of the finest preachers in America. Tremendously capable preacher. God just gave him the gift of public speaking. And he held a revival just a few months ago in Kingsport. And he did pastor down in North Georgia area. I'm not sure the exact place down there. And just a few months ago, he left the fundamental ranks and took a Southern Baptist church in Georgia there. And one of my preacher friends, asked him, well, he said, why did you leave the fundamental independent Baptist ranks? He said, for $50,000. And just smiled and thought that was cute. And I knew a man that would say that doesn't have any principle about it. He sold out to get a big salary. It's exactly what he did. Now, this church pays me well, and I appreciate it. But I wouldn't compromise the Word of God and the truths of God's Word for a penny. I'd be a pauper before I'd compromise on the Word of God. And there's not a man of God, I'm talking about a man of God alive, who is for sale. If he's for sale, he's a hireling prophet and not a man of God. But now this preacher got up 2 or 3 weeks ago and confessed adultery before his people down there in Georgia. And he's been living in sin for adultery for 15 years. Been going all over this country and preaching and holding revivals for 15 years. But brother, God finally exposed him. Turn over in the Bible to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11. Now, God tells us what to do when a believer sins. Right here, we're told exactly what to do. I'm talking about believer now. This is a child of God. When a child of God sins, what are we to do? To avoid the judgment hand of God, 1 Corinthians 11, 31 tells us what to do. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, God will sometimes give a believer who falls in sin a little while, sometimes, to judge himself. And if he doesn't judge that sin, then the hand of God's judgment falls on his life. And we as Christians can judge ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit that's checking us and telling us that's wrong. And judging ourselves doesn't mean coming to an altar, shedding a few crocodile tears. No, it's got to go deeper than that. Judging ourselves has got to go further than just feeling bad because of my sin and maybe shedding a few tears because of my sin. No, folks, when we judge our sin, we have to deal with it. And we have to turn from our sin. If we've hurt somebody, we have to go make it right. Brother Page told yesterday morning, in our prayer meeting here, men's prayer meeting, about a man who said that he'd rather go to hell as to go and make things right with his brother. Isn't that terrible? You heard him say it. Some of you all here heard him say, Brother Page say that. A man told him his brother offended him and took his mother's property and kicked her out, and this brother would rather go to hell as to get things right with his brother. Now, if you owe somebody something, you ought to go pay your debt. That's what God wants you to do. And he wants you to quit your lying, if you've been lying. If you've been stealing, taking things that you should not have been taking, he wants you to go and make restitution and stop taking that which doesn't belong to you. If you're in adultery, and folks, we don't know in our congregations who's in adultery until it's too late. But I'm here to tell you, if the devil's got you into the sin of adultery, you ought to judge yourself and say, Lord, forgive me and stop it. Make a break of that. There's a man come to me, he said he won't get saved here. Well, I think I've told you about it before. It's been happening, a year or two or three ago. And he was living with an old girl. And he had a wife in Knoxville. Well, I said, now, Bud, I said, I can't play games with you. I said, if you're not willing to leave that woman and go back to your wife, I said, I'm not going to try to pray for you to get saved. God's not going to save you living in open sin knowingly. And I said, now, if you leave her and if you don't want to ever live that woman, go divorce her. He wouldn't divorce her and he wouldn't leave this woman. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, God won't save you. I said, I'm not going to play games. And he got mad and left me. But we've got to, listen, before we can get right with the Holy God, we've got to forsake sin. You've got to forsake sin. And look on at verse 32 here now. We've got judge sin, and judging sin means you agree with God, it's wrong, and you forsake it. Now that's what judging sin is. And if you can make restitution, sometimes you don't have to make it public. Some things it's best not to make public. If you need to make something right, you ought to go. But you have to quit. Judge it as wrong and quit it in God's sight. That's judging sin. Then look at verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Now talking to saved people. Now you have to differentiate God's dealing with his people and dealing with the unsaved people. He deals differently with his children. But when we, God's people, are judged, we, God's people, are chastened of the Lord, that we, God's people, should not be condemned with the world. God deals differently with an unsaved man than he does a saved man. Now, neither one's going to get by with sin. But I'm glad that God chastens us as his dear children, aren't you? Aren't you glad of that? Now, I deal differently with my children than I do somebody else's children. I mean, when my children are little, I would whip them. But I didn't whip the neighbor's children. It wasn't my job to whip the neighbor's children. And I dealt differently with my children than I did with somebody else's. And God deals differently with his children than he does the unsaved. And he judges us. God judges us now. That we won't be judged later with the unsaved. But now, even though sin takes its toll in the lives of the unsaved now, the unsaved, their judgment will be put off until the great white throne judgment. See, the Lord doesn't whip the devil's children. He's got a judgment day on out. Now, sin takes its toll in the body, but judgment on the unsaved will come in the last day at the great white throne judgment. Now let's look at, and I'm spending all my time I see on that first principle, but there's a judgment day coming for Christians unless we judge our sins. But this second principle in verse 24. And some men, they follow after. God does not expose for his reasons. Sometimes. Sin of believers in this life. But their sin certainly will be exposed at the judgment seat of Christ. Their sins tag along. They follow after them down through this life, and they tag along after them till the judgment seat of Christ, where every man's work will be manifest, and all of those works that are not for the glory of God, they'll be burned. And the believer will be saved so as by fire or by the skin of his teeth. Now, I'm convinced, though, that most believers who sin will be judged in this life and most of the time immediately. Well, I can't have an evil thought or say an unkind word without the Holy Spirit inside. Checking me. And I believe that's the experience of all of God's born-again people. That the soon as we sin, I don't care how minute it is, the Holy Spirit within starts his office work. I'm glad of that, aren't you? That keeps us out of a peck of trouble, doesn't it? I'm glad for the work of the Holy Spirit in chastening me. And I'm sure you who are believers feel the same way. Then, let's look at verse 25 for two principles right quick on good works. The first principle the first part of the verse, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. It is my observation that God rewards many faithful Christians openly in this life. Not always. And I'm not talking about just blessing them with wealth and health. I mean these characters on television, radio, got their health and wealth message. That's as unscripted as the devil. God does not always give us health and wealth as believers. There's other areas that he blesses us. Why, it's a wonderful thing to just have the sweet hand of God's blessing on your life. There's some things greater than health and wealth, and that's the sweet, wonderful presence and help of God, help from heaven, breath of God. That's far better than... I've been praying lately for five things God's laid on my heart to pray for, and one thing, I want his power. I want his power. That double portion. And folks, that's greater than money, isn't it? And that's greater than health. I'd rather have the power than the second thing, the presence of God on my life, as have good health, as have wealth. So see, there's some things greater than health and wealth. I've been praying also for his purity for my life. The purity of the Lord to be on my portion. As the song says, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. I mean to be pure like Jesus. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Just be pure like Jesus. I want that. I know these things will probably never be my full portion in this life. But down in my soul, that's what I want. That's what I want. Also, I've been praying that for his praise to be upon my lips. It's a wonderful thing for the Lord to give us a gift of praise. That we have, that he'll bless us with a spirit that just praises him. You can't do anything with anybody just praising the Lord, can you? I mean, let things come, it doesn't matter. Just praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful just to be someone who just praises the Lord? Then I want him to help me to live a life of prayer. And if the Lord just give me those things, see, that'd be great. That'd be more important to me than health and wealth. So the blessing of God. Sometimes God does pour out his blessing upon people very obviously and very openly. Like a man like Claterno, multimillionaire. God blessed him financially. He made a lot of money and he spent a lot. And he gave him the ability to make and spend money for the cause of Christ. Instead of giving, I think, the tithe, he gave 90% and lived off the 10th. That'd be nice to be able to do that, wouldn't it? But anyway, let's notice quickly now the second principle in verse 25, the latter part of verse 25. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now, commentators don't know for sure what that means there. But to me, I'm just going to let it refer also to good works that he's talking about in verse 25. There are many faithful, good saints of God who struggle down through this life. I want to shake these health and wealth preachers. I know a lot of good saints of God that never have the good things in this life, material things. And they struggle through this life. And they know, a lot of people know nothing but heartache. Dear Brother Gary was telling us yesterday morning about a dear lady. I believe you said she is saved, didn't you, Brother Gary? She lost her home. She lost, her husband left her. And she had cancer surgery. Now, brother, I'll tell you, you think you're in bad shape this morning. Just think of a poor lady like that. There's saints of God who are their bodies wrecked with suffering, still praising the Lord, still praising the Lord. There's saints of God that are doing the best they can to live for Jesus, and they can't hardly make ends meet. There's a lot of people, a lot of God's dear. They told me, some of you told us about the... went down into Santo Domingo. Those dear people have nothing down there, Brother Jerry, and you others who went, I understand. I mean, but they're praising the Lord. They're living for Jesus. But you know, saint of God, if you find yourself in that shape today, you're trying to live for Jesus, and you, You don't have much of this world's good, and it seems like that God is not blessing you like you want to. Listen, I have news for you. God is mindful of you, and your reward is coming. You will be rewarded abundantly when we see Jesus. Have a new body. Have a new body. And you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be joint heirs with Jesus. Heirs of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means I'm going to be co-owner of everything God has. Look what a wonderful universe he has. You see, better things are coming for a child of God. My dear daddy, he was a good man. We didn't have much. He's a poor man. Had a hard life. Fought in World War I for about 2 years. He was over at the machine gunner. Got gassed by the Germans. And he came home and dug coal for over 30 years. Received that lung disease that most miners get, or many of them get. Black lung, they call it. And he didn't have much of this world's goods. But my daddy was saved. He was saved. I remember daddy, he would come home after working in the mines for over 30 years, and then last 10 years of life, the mines closed down and he had to get a job in Chattanooga. He'd come home and with his Bible, after supper, he'd go out and sit on the porch, end of the porch, facing the mountain on the old rocking chair. He'd put that Bible down in his hands and on his knee like that, and he'd read it, and I'd see my daddy look up toward the mountains praying to the Lord. And I'd hear my daddy sing, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea." And the Lord did pilot my daddy over life's tempestuous sea. His life was suddenly taken in a car accident. Red Bank, Tennessee, July 8, 1953, and my dad went on to his reward. He didn't have much in his life, but he is going to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ forever and forever. So, saint of God, just keep on keeping on. There's better things ahead for a child of God. And as the Word of God says, we shall reap in due season. We shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? Glad I'm a child of God. Glad I came forward one night many years ago to the mourner's bench, knelt at that mourner's bench, and said, "Yes, I want to take Jesus as my Savior." I'm glad it all started over 40 years ago. The Lord's been good to me. Hadn't been what ought to been all the time, but he's been good to me, better than I deserve. I thank him for it. Child of God, just keep on. Just don't give up the race. Don't throw in the towel. Just faint not. You'll reap in due season if you just keep on keeping on. Don't let anything deter you or deter you. Just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never regret it while eternity rolls. If you're not saved this morning, God loves you. Christ died for you. You can get in today if you want to come down this aisle and just trust Christ. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Jesus said. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." If you just come on to Jesus and say, "Lord, come into my heart, save me," he'll save you, and you leave here a child of God on your way to heaven. How many of this morning say, "Preacher, I'm glad I'm saved today. Glad I'm in. Glad I'm a child of God." Raise your hand if you can say that as a testimony. Okay, put your hands back down. How many here this morning say, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart. There's a spiritual need in my life. I need help from the Lord about a certain problem," or maybe you need to rededicate your life, or maybe you've never been saved. You would say, "Preacher, pray for me." Whatever that spiritual need is today. Maybe you need to come join this church. You're praying about that. You just need prayer. Whatever the need is, "Preacher, God's spoken to my heart today. pray for me. Would you do that? Just slip your hand right up. Now, I remember, yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you back here. God bless you. Anyone else? Are these three or four adults? Okay, God bless you over here, this young man. Anyone else? Anyone else? Pray for me, preacher. Oh, is there somebody here today that said, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Oh, listen. Why don't you come and just trust Jesus and get in today? Anyone like that? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just slip your hand up. In this crowd, there's probably many like that. I don't know. Hope everybody's saved. If you're not sure you're saved, all we want to help you. That's all I want to do is help you. I don't want to hurt you in the least. Pray for me, preacher. Is anyone like that? Not sure that you know that you know that if you die right now, you'd go to heaven. You say, pray for me. Young people, are you in? Mom, dad, are you in? Are you born again? If not, just slip that hand up right now. Anyone else right now? Anyone like that? You're not sure you're saved. Is there a Christian? Preacher, pray for me. Is there a Christian? Another one. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. We're fixing to pray. Anyone else want to be included in this prayer for any reason? In the choir. In the choir. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you love us. And even though you don't, we who are saved, we don't get by with sin, you deal with us as dear children. Your dear children, we thank you for that. And I pray that, Father, we'll all judge sin in our lives immediately so we'll not have to be judged of the Lord. I pray for that one that may be here unsaved today. The Lord maybe didn't even raise their hand. They know down in their soul they're out of the ark of safety. If they die now, they'd be lost. Lord, may they get up in a few moments and come down and say, I want to get saved today. And Lord, save them. You do the work. And these three or four or five that raised their hand for prayer, these three adults and this young man over here, God, just help them to come and cast that burden on the Lord. You take care of them and help them, Lord. Use them. Whatever the need is, meet that need, I pray. Somebody needs to rededicate their life. May they come. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing Only Trust Him, Brother Gary. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. Only trust Him. Now, folks, this altar is open. Every service. Whatever your need is, it doesn't matter what it is. Just come and turn it over to the Lord and do business with the Holy God. Don't leave here defeated. Oh, don't leave here defeated. Some of you are not on fire for God, not living for Jesus. Don't leave here like that. Come and get in this altar and do business with the Holy God. You raised your hands. Come on. We've prayed for you. If you didn't raise your hands, come on. Let's stand and sing what number?
288.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Just slip out. Come on. Come on, right as we sing.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Once now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow.
Bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed and every eye closed. Just play through softly again, please. In a moment, I'm going to have the choir to sing another verse. There were four that raised their hands as dear lady came. And so three, I believe at least three more, if I'm not mistaken, raised your hand. If you raised your hand for prayer, if you need to come, just come and slip in this altar and talk to the Lord about it. Young fellow over here, son, won't you come? You raise your hand. Just slip out and come on right now. Just slip out and come on. Slip out and come on. Ma'am over here, won't you come? If God's speaking to you, come on, come on. Amen. That's right. Others of you, back here, won't you come? Brother Sam. There's two others. There's a lady here and a man. If you need to come, if you need to come, if God's speaking to you, if you need to do business with the Holy God, I'm going to have the choir to sing the next verse. Won't you come? Choir, would you sing the next verse? Come on. You know you ought to come. Do what you know God wants you to do. Come on. Come on. Sing one more verse, 288. What verse, brother? Verse number four. This is the last verse if no one comes. If you need to join the church, rededicate your life, be saved, whatever it is, come on, obey the Lord. One of the verse. Won't you come?
Come then and join this holy man and on to glory go.
Come. About a problem, this young fellow here rededicating his life to the Lord. I thank God for that. You know, folks, there's many times in our lives when we need that God speaks to us about rededication. When He does, we ought to move out. I've gone to the altar many times in my life to rededicate my life to the Lord. We ought to do that. When God speaks, we ought to just come to the altar, do business with the Holy God. God will bless us. Well, thank you for coming this morning. Be back tonight. Young people, be in youth meeting at 6 o'clock tonight, first protein meeting. Parents, you ought to have your teen at protein tonight at 6 o'clock. And God will bless you. You'll bless your teen. They need that training. You ought to have them here. Be back tonight. On that passage, I'm going to give you the message. I've given you the conclusion. Now I'll give you the message tonight. And let's talk.